All right, really happy now to be joined once again by the Marblehead High School football coach, Jim Rudloff. And, Coach, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And here we are at midseason. How you doing?
Good, good. Just, you know, same as last time we talked, just trying to wade the way through the COVID environment and just, you know, football in spring. The weather's been great, so it's been wonderful.
Coach, you said something before in our pregame talk here that I think is worth mentioning and letting people know about. You know, you're also a teacher, as many coaches are, and you're involved in so many things with the kids. You're, in essence, everybody knows a coach is a surrogate parent as well as a coach and a teacher. But you are a teacher in the building and so on. And there are particular times of the year when things get a little dicey in terms of grades and midterm exams and things like that. And what some people don't remember, Jim, is that your kids are students before they're athletes. And so all this comes to a head at certain times of the year, and this would seem to be one of those times. And then you sprinkle in the COVID on top of that, and there's some stress on these youngsters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're very fortunate in the fall. There's very little opportunity for a kid to get himself into grade trouble because by the time you get to Thanksgiving, the grades usually come out a little bit before Thanksgiving, and it's not really something that we deal with very much. The kids are fresh. The school year just began. Not a lot of classes really hit them too hard, in the month of September. So we don't see the academic side of it, you know, in terms of kids getting themselves into trouble. But what's interesting here in the spring is we just had on Monday our grades close. So not so much the concern being a student being in trouble or not, but the fact that if a kid has work to make up or kids have been scrambling for, you know, exams and getting work in and things like that because we do have in the middle of the season, you know, a report card coming up. And so at the same time for a place like Marblehead, we decided this week that this would be the perfect date to return full time all the kids back to school for the first time. So, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning is the parking lot at the high school is a death trap because for the first time ever, you have sophomores and juniors showing off their new cars and their new licenses as they're sticking their heads out the window trying to have conversations with someone else in the car going in the opposite direction. So it's just, you know, it's madness and, at the school, but it's very different in the fall. Everything's a little bit more under control. So it's been different and the kids are just trying to, you know, handle it the best they can.
Oh, Coach, man, that brings back memories, but you're so right. And I didn't realize that, you know, with the difference in seasons and so on. Let me ask you a question off topic here before we get to your team. During this year, this entire year going back to last April, is there some discretion, is there wide discretion among teachers in how they handle these things in terms of grades, in terms of what work needs to be made up and that kind of thing?
I would say that there has to be, but I know, you know, I can only speak to my own experience. We were given guidance, in especially last spring when it first hit, that we were given guidance to take the utmost, you know, really side with the kid on that. A kid would have to do something extraordinary to have failed last, spring. Mm-hmm. But really once we got into this year, we got back into regular grading, but I think every single teacher understands that there's extenuating circumstances that are well beyond anything that we ever imagined in the rule book. You know, none of it's covered in the handbook. So, I think a lot of teachers are, but the fear too is as we talk about this generation of kids that are going to have gone this huge chunk of time without in-person learning, that the other fear on teachers' part is what is the tone that we're setting with kids if we're giving them this incredibly forgiving, incredibly, because that's not the real world. It's the educational world right now in the age of COVID, but the real world doesn't care. And so we don't want to put the kids in a position of fooling them next year when they're a junior or next year when they're a senior into this is the way that the high school system works. This is the way the education system works. They need to know that they have to be held accountable. That's part of what we're there teaching them.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in, you know, what we did last year was the absolute correct thing to do. that you definitely need to, you know, be extremely lenient because of the circumstances. But at some point during this school year, you know, the kids need to understand that you have to be held accountable. We're giving you assignments. Most of the teachers have already stretched out the due dates and things like that, but the flip side of that is I would seriously question any school that decided to go super hardline on a student or family if they're struggling.
Walking a fine line, walking on eggshells, walking on the glass on top of the Berlin Wall, you guys, as educators, I don't envy the job, but I really respect the way you're looking at it, and that certainly makes sense. If my kid were going through that, I'd want to know that the standards are still pretty damn high, and that's most excellent. Now, speaking of standards, Coach, you had a really big win this past weekend against Masconomet. Maybe reflect on that a little bit for me.
The win itself against Masco is a good game. I know, you know, both of us, both Masco and Marblehead, we have some kids out with COVID. We have, you know, they it's, you know, crutches on parade between our team and their team. With the number of kids that are injured or out or wearing Letterman jackets. And it's just a shame. You know, it's too bad. But you play with the kids that are on the field. And we didn't have the greatest game, but we did a nice job. We did the things that we needed to do. Josh Robertson, our quarterback, struggled a little bit, but still had a good game. And I thought Masco played really well. And it was just it was a good game. We were fortunate enough to win. We go back and play them next week after a game this week, and we play them at Masco. They're going to get some kids back, and I'm sure it'll be a much different game then, and hopefully we can still come out on top.
Coach, your skill players are always making the paper. They're always out there, with the statistics and so on. But I have to ask you once again about your line play. And maybe, I don't know, the unsung hero, the unheralded guy or whatever, but so many of the skilled position players depend so much on those guys, those grunts up front, who enjoy doing what they're doing, but you never see their names in the paper.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, the offense that we play is designed to get a bunch of people the ball. So in doing that, you're going to have different kids every week. You hope, like ideally as a coach, you hope it's a different name every week. But the linemen are going to get no credit in the spread offense. But we, you know, our kids, we have great, you know, two of our captains, Cam Janik, is an undersized lineman. I believe Cam might be 185 pounds. And he's maybe 6 feet. If we stretch him out on a board, but, Cam's done a great job for us. He used to be a running back. We had to convert him over the line. JT Monahan used to be a quarterback. He's our starting right tackle. He's our other captain. We have Gresham Bosworth is another senior. That's our left tackle. His older brother is a tight end at Bryant College, and Gresh is a great kid. He's a hockey player, football player for us, and this is his second year starting on the line for us. James Maniacci is our center. He's a second year starter for us. He's a senior too as well. And then AJ Andriano, who is a junior, is our other lineman. And these guys, you know, we have another guy that works in there a little bit, Tommy Groom, who's a senior. And these guys do all the work for us because, you know, whether it's pass protection, runs, screens, we ask a lot of them. They have to be athletic. You know, teams that play kind of the same style of offense that we do, you'll notice Swampscott has the same thing. Kind of longer, lean guys that can run around a little bit. But when you get up against teams like, you know, Masco or, you know, Danvers, some of these teams with the bigger, beefier lines, Beverly, you know, it puts us at a disadvantage. And then it becomes, you know, we really have to make sure that we can do certain things that offset that a little bit better than, you know, maybe some other teams can do and to help our linemen out. So there's a lot that goes into trying to help your linemen out, but without the linemen, you know, we can't do any of the stuff that we do. And those guys are the real warriors of our team.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to the outside person, they may look at our team and say, oh, I bet so-and-so is their team MVP. I bet such-and-such is. But pretty much every year, our true team MVP is usually a two-way lineman because we don't have that. We joke. The joke, you know, in Marblehead is we say that, you know, you're not allowed to be fat in Marblehead. You know, we just don't have kids that fit that mold at all. You know, we just very rarely, we're usually trying to get skinny kids to put on weight.
Well, I know teaching at Gloucester High School, I used to marvel at the attitude of the linemen in my class. It just, you know, they just go about their business, and sometimes they wouldn't even wear their letter jackets. They just, you know, they're just proud of what they do, and they do it in workmanlike fashion, but they know football as well. One final question, Jim, about the line. In pro football, we hear so much about the center and the importance of the center on offense. Is it the same in high school? Is he a really important a part of that offense in terms of how the whole thing works?
Yeah, I mean, for a couple of different reasons. You know, number one is obviously without the snap, when you're in the shotgun, so many things can go wrong. So it's critical that the snap obviously be good. But to answer your question in terms of is he still important, it changes. You know, we've seen different changes in the NAC with the way that teams play. You know, and it's not just about whether or not they put a nose guard on you or not a nose guard. It's really the emphasis that different teams will put on things. We went through a couple of years where we were able to get away with, we would take our weakest lineman and put him at center. And that changes from year to year, where you decide to focus at, because very rarely do any of us have five solid great linemen.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always trying to hide something, it seems like, and it changes from year to year where, you know, where other teams appear to be emphasizing their defense or where they feel like they have to attack you.
Wow, it's a real chess match. That's incredible. Coach, coming up, you've got Danvers, and, you know, they've been hit by the injury bug, as everybody has, but they're still a real threat, and you know Coach Nolan is always going to have something for you.
Yeah, you know, he does a great job defending us. He has every single year that he's been in the league, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and just, you know, his mind. And but I think the most impressive thing that he does as a coach is what he's able to get out of the kids. It's not just that, you know, he can draw a bunch of things up on a whiteboard, but it's the fact that he can teach it to the kids and the kids execute it. You know, that's just been a staple of Danvers. And then the other thing is, more than anything else, he's taken a team that, you know, didn't really seem to believe in itself for years, and made them believe in themselves. You know, Danvers now is one of the loudest, proudest teams that you play.
Yep.
And it wasn't always that way, you know, and I'm sure everyone in Gloucester feels that way.
Oh yeah.
You know, they've made themselves a formidable opponent every single year. And, you know, that really, it goes back to, you know, Ryan. He just does a really good job there.
It's the old New York Yankee, Montreal Canadian thing. We hate him, but we love him. Absolutely. As an alumna, a teacher at Gloucester High School. Coach, the final thing I want to mention here, and thank you for taking the time once again tonight. It's always a blast listening to you and learning from you. 100 wins at Marblehead High School, and according to Phil Stacey, as quick as anybody's ever done it. Congratulations. Can you reflect on that for 1 second for us?
Sure, yeah. I, you know, honestly, it's not so much about the number because, you know, who cares? Honestly, like, it doesn't mean anything. You know, but what's important is the fact that what you really got to look at is for 10 years, we had kids that were that good that came through the high school, you know, and that's pretty cool. I, you know, anyone that follows our team knows that, you know, the families that have run through my coaching years, the Millets, I'm gonna miss kids and people are gonna get mad at me, but, you know, just different families that, you know, right now I still have three or four kids on my team right now that, their older brother played for me, or, you know, but, you know, but again, I mentioned, you know, the Millets or, you know, there's four, you know, three or four brothers that went through the system, you know, and each one of them had a significant role in our winning. And, you know, the two Gillis brothers, you know, kids that started as freshmen for 4 years. I've just been really, really lucky, you know, and, the other part of it is the coaches that I've had have stuck with me is, you know, no matter how much of an ass I make of myself, they keep coming back for more and they're excellent. You know, I sometimes will sit during a practice and just listen to, you know, Tommy Walsh coach up a kid, or Drew Bordeaux, or one of these guys, Mike Giardi, and just kind of be in awe of, like, wow, you know, that I can't believe he just dropped all that knowledge on that kid. You know, that was impressive. And so I've been fortunate really in two different ways. And I'll tell you right now, if you look at any of the coaches in the NEC that have not had success, and I don't care who it is, it's because they probably couldn't get the right mix of assistant coaches, and they didn't have the right mix of kids come through. You know, and it's not to put the blame elsewhere. It's just to say I've been that lucky that I've had both for 10 years. So that's really what it comes down to.
Marblehead High School coach Jim Rudloff with MSO No Sports. I'm Rick Moore.